worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad you have joined us for our online Sunday worship experience. Let us now join our hearts and our minds together as we worship God.
In the silence of our hearts or in spoken words, let us give thanks for the gift of this day and pray for the life of this world. Gracious and loving God, we know we are your people, holy and dearly loved. Thank you for the gift of your love which surpasses our understanding but draws us closer and closer to you. Our response to this love must be to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Jesus is our guide in all these things and shows us how you would have us live and showed us how to bind all of this together in love. In your own compassion, you are gentle and patient with our failures. Please forgive us when we fail to extend kindness to others, whether in our thoughts, our words, or our deeds. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so we can reflect your goodness in all we do. God, you ask us to bear with each other and forgive one another if we have a grievance against someone. You remind us to forgive as you have forgiven us. Yet we are so contentious. We take offense easily and are quick to lash out in return. We hold grudges. We don't respect or even truly listen to the opinion of others, but instead claim only our way of thinking is correct. Lord, help us to strive to be better and to always be shining reflections of your love. We do not do unity well. Our nation is divided between blue and red, right and wrong, them and us. You show us perfect unity in being three in one, God the Creator, Jesus Christ the Blessed Son, and the Holy Spirit. We ask for unity and healing for our nation, within our leaders, our communities, our neighborhoods, our churches, and our families. We pray for healing within each one of us today and for those who we love and care for. God, we ask for the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, since as members of one body, we are called to peace. In your forgiveness, we seek new beginnings. In your generosity, we seek what is best for one another. In your grace, we seek freedom from bitterness. In your mercy, we seek healing for all. Give us eyes to see the ways you are changing the world in which we live. Give us ears to hear your call to join with you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we join our voices together in the prayer which he taught us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hi family, just a couple of announcements today. One is that the ongoing book study in Church Chat, God Can't, by the author Thomas J. Ord. I'm excited to share that at the end of this study, Thomas Ord himself will be joining our group. It's not too late to sign up for it. So to join this and any of the small groups which we offer both at Hollywood UMC and Harmony Toluca Lake, please email me, revdenise@hollywoodumc.org, and I will be happy to share details with you, or to pass them on to those who are responsible for that group. Everything we do at Hollywood UMC is made possible by you, by your prayers, your gifts, your presence, your service, your witness, and of course your financial gifts, which in these difficult times we need more than ever in order to continue our mission work in the heart of Hollywood and in Toluca Lake. There are various ways in which you can give, and these are all on the screen in front of you now. Thank you, family. Blessings to you all. Stay well.
Jesus loves me this A reading from Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, we are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word. Thanks be to God.
This morning we continue our Epiphany sermon series entitled, Forgive. We're focusing on forgiveness because we know that we're all going to need a lot of healing in this coming year. Healing from the pandemic, to be sure, but also healing from the deep division that has nearly torn our nation apart over the past few years, and especially over the past few weeks. For healing to truly begin on so many levels, we have to start with forgiveness. Forgiving others even when we don't want to, forgiving the past, forgiving the church. We're going to look at all of these and more. Being able to forgive and let go will allow us both to heal and move forward constructively as we build the beloved community together. At the heart of forgiveness is grace, which we focused on last week as we remembered our baptism. It is in those baptismal waters that God says to each of us, "You are my beloved." Not because we've done anything to earn it or deserve it, not because of our social status or gender or income or any other metric you might think of. You are God's beloved child because God's very nature, very inclination and desire is quite simply to love and to offer us unmerited and amazing grace over and over and over again. The great 20th century theologian Paul Tillich once wrote that the bottom line of faith is accepting God's acceptance of you. You see, all we have to do to gain this grace is to accept it. In turn, then, we have to share it first with ourselves and then with others. The great Christian writer Frederick Buechner once wrote, "When somebody you have wronged forgives you, you are spared the dull and self-diminishing throb of a guilty conscience. When you forgive someone who has wronged you, you are spared the dismal corrosion of bitterness and wounded pride for both parties." Forgiveness means the freedom again to be at peace inside your own skin and to be glad in each other's presence. Now, what is it that makes all this forgiveness talk uniquely Christian? Some years ago, Ricky Gervais wrote an open holiday letter that was published in the Wall Street Journal online entitled, "Why I Am an Atheist." But there was one part that particularly struck me. Gervais wrote, "Do unto others. It's a good rule of thumb. I live by that. Forgiveness is probably the greatest virtue there is, but that's exactly what it is, a virtue. Not just a Christian virtue. No one owns being good." Fair enough. We know that all religious traditions, to some degree or another, stress the importance of forgiveness. And it's true, you do not need to be a Christian to forgive someone. But that said, there is a quantum leap between the concept of what we can call secular forgiveness and a Christian understanding of forgiveness, especially the definition of forgiveness we find in New Testament teachings about grace, which we find today in our epistle lesson to the church at Colossae. Gregory Jones, the Dean of Duke Divinity School, goes so far as to call the secular form of forgiveness therapeutic forgiveness. Not to oversimplify, but essentially all of us tend towards therapeutic forgiveness because it causes us to feel good. Again, now nothing wrong with that. Letting go of pain and resentments and starting afresh, especially in January, a new year, those are good things. But for secular or therapeutic forgiveness, that sort of emotional release, that mental cleansing, is an end in itself. In fact, it's called therapeutic forgiveness precisely because the motivation to forgive is centered in the benefits of forgiveness that the person who forgives will receive. Professor Jones calls this a frighteningly shallow perspective. As Christians, he challenges us to replace this self-centered understanding with a deep sense that it is our own forgivenness that motivates us to forgive others. He says, forgiveness is tough stuff, family. Dr. Thomas Long, professor emeritus of preaching at Candler School of Theology, elaborates this way. He says, forgiveness in the New Testament sense is not a superficial event. It is not merely a willingness to let bygones be bygones or to throw up one's hands and say, ah, forget it, life has to go on, attitude. He says, in the New Testament, forgiveness is about making what is tragically broken right again. Forgiveness is about a deep healing, a thorough repair of broken relationships, a removal of the poison that destroys love and harmony, a restoration of wholeness and trust. Forgiveness is saying with utter truthfulness, the wrong is now righted. I no longer count this against you. We are not called to create forgiveness. That is beyond us. We are called instead to participate in a forgiveness that's given to us as a gift, the forgiveness, the grace that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Amen to that good news. You see, Christian forgiveness goes beyond how we feel to who we are. We forgive not because we want to feel better, but because as followers of the Christ child, by definition, we have been forgiven. We have been transformed by the grace of God, and we are new people through Christ's unconditional love. Amen? I can hear you shouting from your homes. Amen. You see, we need that understanding of the power of forgiveness to transform our lives. Without it, we remain like the little girl who started fighting with a friend. When her mother heard about the quarrel, she talked with her daughter about it, and she tried to show her she was wrong and that she needed to ask God to forgive her. So when her daughter began to pray, she started out okay by saying, "Oh God, please forgive me for getting angry and quarreling with Charlotte." But then she added, "And make Charlotte come to me and ask my forgiveness. Oh Lord, give her no rest until she is sorry and comes and tells me so." We'll deal with the Charlottes of our lives next week when we focus on forgiving others. But today I want us to consider what it means to recognize and accept our own need for forgiveness from God. And when we do, we can then make room to forgive ourselves. To again quote Tillich, he once said it's impossible to have both a sensitive conscience and a clear conscience at the same time. For a sensitive conscience is inevitably a guilty one. Now, we know it's hard to forgive ourselves, even harder than forgiving others sometimes. And here's why. We know ourselves better than anyone else. We can't fool ourselves. We know. We really do know the hurts that we cause others most of the time. Deep down, all of us have an inner critic, that nagging voice that's reminding us of our failings and our shortcomings on a daily basis. Heck, sometimes on an hourly basis, right? Plus, we tend to hold ourselves to a higher standard than we hold others. And while we don't take the Bible literally, somehow we can't shake the idea that that verse, "Be perfect as your Creator in heaven is perfect," might be an aspiration, not a mandate. So let me say this as clearly as I can. When we refuse to forgive ourselves, we cut ourselves off from relationship with God. When we choose to hold on to guilt or feelings of unworthiness or resentments of any kind, we are denying God's grace into our lives and refusing to allow grace to transform us into the people that God has created us to be. Sinners all, every single one of us, but forgiven sinners through the amazing and wonderful grace of God in Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. How can we truly ask God to forgive us if we aren't willing to forgive ourselves? What good does it do if God offers us grace and forgiveness, but our hearts are closed to receive it because we think for whatever reason that we're unworthy, that we don't deserve God's grace that is so freely given to us? But here's the good news. If we believe, if we really believe and proclaim that we are forgiven through the abundant love of Jesus Christ, then our forgivenness will transform us and open our hearts. And then we will be able to incarnate Paul's instructions to the congregation at Colossae. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. And in turn, family, that means our efforts to change the world, to build the kingdom of God, the beloved community, will rightly be rooted in God's forgiveness and grace. On this weekend in which we celebrate the life and the prophetic work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his words about forgiveness ring especially true. Dr. King said, "We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies." I needed to hear Dr. King's words this week as more and more images and details have emerged about the horrors of the seditious insurrection on January 6th, an attack on elected officials, an attack on the election process, and an attack on democracy itself. I needed to hear anew that there is some good in the worst of us, as images of the Christian flag and signs proclaiming "Jesus saves" were prominently displayed by the insurrectionists as they stormed the Capitol. And they also held the Confederate battle flag. I needed to hear anew that we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. Because right now, I don't know that it's within me to forgive those marauders and white supremacists at the Capitol whose intention was to violently overthrow the rule of law and to do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Forgiving that conflation of white supremacy, Christian nationalism, and the cult of personality that has dominated the presidency for the past 4 years, all of those things have been fused together to incite this and potentially other acts of violence in the coming week. All of that is something that I, and like others, will need time to be able to develop forgiveness for. But the good news is that Dr. King also said, forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a constant attitude. So to develop our capacity to forgive consistently and not intermittently, we can begin with developing an attitude towards forgiving ourselves. So I ask you, what is the one thing, the one burden that perhaps is overwhelming that you have been carrying around far too long? Maybe it's a broken relationship with a family member or a friend. Perhaps it's a long simmering resentment toward a current or previous supervisor at work. Whatever it might be, I ask you metaphorically to lay it down or kick it out the back door or whatever mental image works for you. Offer yourself both therapeutic and Christian forgiveness as you dispense with that burden. Because you see, God forgave you a whole long time ago. It's now up to you to take a deep breath. Fill yourself with God's grace and spirit and let it go. Forgive yourself. And remember, forgiveness means the freedom again to be at peace inside your own skin and to be glad in each other's presence. May it be so. Amen.